ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सर्वशूनं च वयोश्च च तं नशे परमन्ये अश्विनोर् ओषधीनं च घ्राणो मद प्रमोदय। सर्वशूनं च वयोश्च तन्नासि परमायने अश्विनोरौषधीनं च घ्राणमद प्रमोदय। सर्वशूनं च वयोश्च तन्नासि परमायने अश्विनोरौषधीनं च घ्राणमद प्रमोदय। सर्वशूनं च वयोश्च तन्नासि परमायने अश्विनोरौषधीनं च घ्राणमद प्रमोदय। All Ashunam, different kinds of life air. Cha and bio of the air. Cha also tat his nashe in the nose. Parama ayane in the transcendental generating center. Ashwino of the Ashwini Kumara demigods. Oshadinam of all medicinal herbs. Cha also Granaha his smelling power. Mada pleasure. Pramodayo specific sport. Translation. His two nostrils are the generating centers of our breathing and of all other airs. His smelling powers generate the Ashwini Kumaras, demigods, and all kinds of medicinal herbs. And his breathing energies produce different kinds of fragrance. Please repeat. His two nostrils are the generating centers of our breathing and of all other airs. His smelling powers generate the Ashwini Kumar demigods and all kinds of medicinal herbs. And his breathing energies produce different kinds of fragrance. There's no purport here, so it's better to write on the board the sloka that we're going to discuss with the purport. So I'll go on to the next one. Rupanam tejasam chakshu diva surasya chakshini karanu disham chatirtanam srotam akasha shabdhayo. Translation. His eyes are the generating centers of all kinds of forms, and they glitter and illuminate. His eyeballs are like the sun and the heavenly planets. His eyeballs are like the sun and the heavenly planets. His ears, hear from all sides and are receptacles for all the Vedas. And his sense of hearing is the generating center of the sky and all kinds of sound. Purport. The word Tirthanam is sometimes interpreted to mean places of pilgrimage, but Srila Jiva Goswami says it means the reception of Vedic transcendental knowledge. The propounders of the Vedic knowledge are also known as the Tirthas. Text 4. Tat katram vastu sharanam shobhagasya cha bhajanam pagasyap sparashavayascha sarva medhasya chayvahahi. The bodily surface is the breeding ground for the active principles of everything. His bodily surface is the breeding ground for the active principle of everything and for all kinds of auspicious opportunities. His skin, like the moving air, is the generating center for all kinds of sense of touch and is the place for performing all kinds of sacrifice. Purport. The air is the moving agent of all planets and as such, the generating center for promotion to the deserving planets. The sacrifices are his bodily surface and are naturally the origin of all auspicious opportunities. Text 5. Romani hudbhija jatinam yerva jagnastu sambritaha kesha smarshu nakayanyasha shila lobha bra vidyutam. The hairs on his body are the cause of all vegetation, particularly of those trees which are required as ingredients for sacrifice. The hairs on his head and face are reservoirs for the clouds, and his nails are the breeding ground of electricity, stones, and iron ores. Purport. The polished nails of the Lord generate electricity, and the clouds rest on the hairs of his head. One can therefore collect all sorts of necessities of life from the person of the Lord. And therefore the Vedas affirm that everything that is produced is caused by the Lord. The Lord is the supreme cause of all causes. Text 6. Bahavo lokopalanam prayasha shima kamonani. Translation. The Lord's arms are the productive fields for the great demigods and other leaders of living entities who protect the general mass. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This important verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is collaborated and nicely explained in the Bhagavad Gita 10:41 and 10:42 as follows. Yat yat vidhut Hutimat Shatvam Srimad Ruchitam Iva Ba Tat Tat Iva Gachitam Tvam Mamatejasom Sa Sambhavam Atava Bahunoitina Kim Gatina Tavarjuna Vishta Biham Idam Krishtam Ekamshina Stito Jagad. There are many powerful kings, leaders, learned scholars, scientists, artists, engineers, inventors, excavators, archaeologists, industrialists, politicians, economists, business magnates, and many more powerful deities or demigods like Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Surya, Varuna, and Marut, who are all producing or protecting the interests of the universal affairs of maintenance in different positions. And all of them are different powerful parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, is the Father of all living entities who are placed in different high and low positions according to their desires or aspirations. Some of them, as particularly mentioned above, are specifically endowed with powers by the will of the Lord. A sane person must know for certain that a living being, however powerful he may be, is neither absolute nor independent. All living beings must accept the origin of their specific power as mentioned in this verse. And if they act accordingly, then simply by discharging their respective occupational duties, they can achieve the highest perfection of life, namely, eternal life, complete knowledge, and inexhaustible blessings. As long as the powerful men of this world do not accept the origin of their respective powers, namely the personality of Godhead, the actions of Maya, illusion, will continue to act. The actions of Maya are such that powerful persons, misled by the illusory material energy, wrongly accepts himself as all in all, and does not develop God consciousness. As such, the false sense of egoism, namely myself and mine, has become overly prominent in the world, and there is a hard struggle for existence in human society. The intelligent class of men, therefore, must admit the Lord as the ultimate source of all energies, and thus pay tribute to the Lord for his good blessings. Simply by accepting the Lord as the supreme proprietor of everything, since he is actually so, one can achieve the highest perfection of life. Whatever a person may be in the estimation of the social order of things, if a person tries to reciprocate a feeling of love towards the Supreme Person of Godhead, and is satisfied with the blessings of the Lord, he will at once feel the highest peace of mind for which he is hankering life after life. Peace of mind, or, in other words, the healthy state of mind, can be achieved only when the mind is situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The parts and parcels of the Lord are endowed with specific powers for rendering service unto the Lord, just as the big business magnate's sons are empowered with specific powers for administration. The obedient son of the father never goes against the will of the father, and therefore passes life very peaceably in concurrence with the head of the family, the father. Similarly, the Lord, being the father of all living beings, should fully and satisfactorily discharge the duty and will of the Father as faithful sons. This very mentality will at once bring peace and prosperity into human society. Om Agyanam Timidandusha Janan Janan Salakir Takshura Nunitan Jinatas Mai Sri Gravina Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Shari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Bhavo loko palanam, prayasha shima, karmananam. The Lord's arms are the productive fields for the great demigods and other leaders of the living entities, who protect the general mass. Prabhupada says, as long as the powerful men of the world do not accept the origin of their respective powers, namely the personality of Godhead, the actions of Maya, will continue to exist. So I'll quote the administrative building again. They've got a big golden sign there. Government's work is the work of God, it says, right? Like that. The government's work is work of God. But first of all, they've got to know what God's work is. Then they can administrate that according to God's work, but they don't know what is God's work. And therefore they are managing, but they're managing an illusion under the grip of Maya. Therefore, no peace. Because they're failing to accept who is actually the source of all the energies, and they are manipulating. Prahlad Maharaj is very intelligent. His father said to him, after trying to kill him so many times, he couldn't do it. He said, "Where do you get your powers from?" Prahlad said, "The same place you get yours." But Hiranyakashipu didn't recognize that he was getting his powers through the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He appeared he got directly from Lord Brahma, but Brahma is empowered by the Supreme Personality to give any benediction or to act in any way. So he fails to respect the Lord and his position. And therefore the whole place becomes chaotic. And today's situation is also the same. They're using God's name on the building, but they're not acting according to his will. So we should march up there with the Sankirtan. We want you to prove your sign up there. What is God's work here? You chant Hare Krishna. Get everybody to do congregational Sankirtan in Bangalore and you will see the result. This is God's work. You do it. You are professing you're doing God's work. This is what God wants in Kali Yuga. Let's do it. And we'll see the result. So actually Prabhupada gave this as the peace formula. Because when Prabhupada started his mission, at that time the Vietnam War was going on. And everybody wanted peace. Especially all the young people. They were all coming out in protest marches and peace marches and everything like that. But nobody had a solution. But Prabhupada said, we have the solution here. Krishna has given the solution in Bhagavad Gita. Bhoktaram Jagatapasyam Sarvalokam Maheshwaram Suritam Sarvabhutanam. What is the next word? Shanti. Shanti Richati. They will get peace. Those who know these four things. That Krishna is provider of everything. He is enjoyer of all sacrifices. Moktaram Jagdavash. Sarvalu is. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He is provider of all planets. He is enjoyer of all sacrifices. He's the friend of all living entity. But he's sitting in everyone's heart. That's the best. People who know this about me, Krishna says, they will attain peace. Others will not. Prabhupada's saying the same thing here. And as you recognize who is actually the proprietor and give everything back to the proprietor to whom it belongs, offer it in his service, there will never be peace. So Prabhupada used to have a little... it was a flyer. It wasn't just a little flyer that they used to distribute, the peace formula. And they used to go to the marches where everyone was marching for peace, distribute all these little pamphlets, the peace formula. We have to accept... behind everything is the Supreme Personality. We recognize his supremacy and superiority over everything. And then you can actually have peace in the world. And without that, you can't have peace. Because Krishna is saying that. If you recognize these, you'll have peace. If you don't recognize, you certainly won't have peace. So devotees recognize this. They have peace. Their only anxiety is other people don't take to it. Therefore, they don't have peace because they're trying to... They want to let everybody else know what the situation is. That is their anxiety. So here, so all these leaders, all these big demigods, they're considered to be the arms of the universal form of the Lord, the Purusha, the Vrat-Purusha. The arms, they give protection. So this is the duty of the Kshatriyas, the administrators. So all these big devas and everything who are administrating the universe, they're actually in knowledge of their positions. They realize that they've been empowered by the Supreme Lord to act in his position as administrators. Sometimes they forget. Like Indra, then Krishna comes and teaches them a lesson. Lord Brahma, some another, they forget the position of Krishna, and then Krishna teaches them a lesson. And they come to their senses. But otherwise, they are devas. They know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. That they're his parts and parcels, and they're administrating the universe. But otherwise, they wouldn't get such a position. It's a very, very important position. To distribute the heat, light, air, water all over the universe. It's not an ordinary position. So they get these specific powers to administrate like this. But also they want this position. They want position of being big controllers. But they're devotees. Therefore they're not pure devotees. The devas, demigods, generally they're not pure devotees because they've got this position because they had desires to be a big controller. Still recognizing the supremacy of the Lord, but still I want to be a big controller, even up to Lord Brahma. So you can get a position of Brahma, you can create the whole universe. The biggest controller, you can be the biggest controller, the universal controller. But still they desire that position, and Krishna has given them because of their qualification, and they are devotees. They get the position. But still the desire is somehow or another to stay here and be a controller or be an enjoyer in this place, which is not the proper conception. The real conception is to go home back to Godhead. So all of these great personalities in this universe, they're representing the different powers of the Lord. Even up to the great sages and rishis, who are establishing Dharma in the world. Their business simply to establish Dharma in the world, but they're also become bound up. They're also tied up in material, in complexities. There's a nice meditation in the, it's given in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And it's a meditation on Krishna. And it describes Krishna in Golok with his clusters of curls and black hair and his thick glossy hair and his, all of his decorations and his beautiful features and the bumblebees buzzing around and situated there playing his flute. And around him there's different grades of devotees. It's a meditation. There must be some majestic place of Goloka in this, somewhere in the spiritual world. And there's the it's a majestic, must be a majestic realm of Goloka, because there's the gopis are there, the Jasoda and the elderly gopis are there. And they're seeing Krishna, their lovable child. Krishna's friends are there playing, making music, dancing. Friends of all of his Krishnas. The gopis are there and they're approaching Krishna very shy. They have their eyes half closed. They're very bashful to look at him properly. But simultaneously they can't keep their eyes from him, so they're trying to keep their eyes half closed, and their bodies are trembling and shaking, and the bells on their waist are jingling. They're trying to conceal everything, but they cannot hold their composure because... And the cows are there and they're looking at Krishna with their loving eyes and gazing at him. The bulls, they're flaring their nostrils and they're drinking the nectar of his flute through their ears and nostrils. So all these different relationships are there that Krishna has. And then there's all the demigods are there also. They're all Stanindra. All the apsaras are there, the Gandhavas, the Kinaras, dancing and singing there. They're in pursuit of karma. Their business is karma. If you really want pleasure, then you can take birth as a Gandhava. That's all you practically do. You just sing and dance with Gandhava look. Prabhupada said they're like fairies. they're approaching because they want calm. But they're approaching Krishna. And the big devas there, the big administrators are there. They want that position of being big controllers. And also the big sages are there. Different sages, Kumaras are there, Sukadeva Goswami is there. They're in pursuit of liberation, they want mukti. Because this is before the Sukadeva Goswami has heard Bhagavatam and the Kumaras have met. Originally they were in pursuit of mukti. They were completely self-satisfied. So those sages are there. They're relating, but they're completely self-satisfied. And there are great sages. Agastya Muni. And so many of these big sages who are actually establishing Dharma in the world. The different relationships, karma, dharma, artha, moksha. All the relationships actually are coming from Krishna and are established with Krishna, in relationship with Krishna. So these big sages, the universally respected sages, Gautam Rishi, all those big sages we hear of, they're establishing Dharma. And they're content to do that. They have so much knowledge. And they really want to help people. They really want to establish universal Dharma. And they're accepted, universal great sages. They're accepted in every planet of the universe. They're worshipped. They have knowledge. They're able to go to these places. They travel around, etc., in the universe. But still they're attached to that position of probably the greatest position. We really want the best welfare for the living entities. They really feel for others. And they got this position as great sages. And they established Dharma in the world. You all have different gotras coming from India. Different sages, lineages. They're really interested in the welfare of human beings. So they give specific lines of knowledge that are coming down through different lineages. You all have the sages. But the thing is that they think this is the greatest thing to do. They got the position because I want to be the greatest welfare for people in mankind. So they get in these positions as sages. But the thing is they're attached to that position. They want that position as being the greatest humanitarian workers, the greatest helpers of humankind. There's such liberal personalities, such broad-minded personalities. But still they are stuck in that position. Unless they come to the point of actual... they're doing it as a service to Krishna also. They realize that Krishna Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the material world, it needs this. We have to establish Dharma, otherwise the people will not know how to act properly. They're doing it as a service to Krishna, but they want to be in that position as to do that. So even they're bound up. Even these persons who have full knowledge practically, they also become bound up. So Krishna is saying, you know these three things about me, Bhotaram Jagdapasyam Sarva Lokamaheshwaram. Suridam Sarva Bhotaram Iti. Krishna says, I am the best friend of everyone. Krishna says, but this is very tricky. Tricks of Maya here. The sages, these universal sages, we know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Controller. He is the proprietor of everything. But actually, I'm the best friend of everyone. Because I'm helping everyone. This is another trick of Maya. I don't want Krishna's position as a Supreme Controller, as the as the owner and lord of everything, but actually, I'm the best friend of everyone. Again, we want to take Krishna's position, you see. Very tricky. They're demigod, but even we have that sometimes. We want to control around and be very liberal with our friends and be the best friend. I want to be the best. It's Krishna again. I want to be Krishna. Trying to get in Krishna's position again. Best friend of everyone. Careful of this one. Everybody wants to be very popular and the best friend of everyone. That's Krishna's position. Krishna says, no, I am the best friend of everyone. So, surrendering to Krishna means giving up all of these designations, all these subtle designations. Being controllers. Prabhupada mentioned here, I and mine, mama meti. Conception. I and mine, that I am the Lord of all I survey and everything is mine to enjoy. This conception of mine. That's not so bad. I am the Lord of all I survey. It says that's not such a bad position, actually, being the Lord of all you survey. But the conception of mine, when that is there, then it's mine to enjoy, then you become attached. The moment you think it's mine, then the attachment is, then the whole bondage takes place. Otherwise the conception of I is not so bad, because if you're aloof from it, if you're not attached, it's nice to live in the world because you're kind of enjoying everything. You know, I am the enjoying. But when the conception of mine is added, it's mine, then the attachment comes. The moment I start thinking it's mine. So, the conception of I is okay, as long as you're detached. But when it's mine to enjoy, then the attachment, then your whole thing gets lost. Because you become completely implicated. You lose your your detached position of being the enjoyer, then you become actually bound by attachment. So all these things are very, very strong and difficult to overcome in the material. So many subtle workings of the Lord. So many ways we're trying to imitate the Lord. You see, you go right up to the topmost planet. It's there also. So therefore Krishna comes. Saravadanam parityaja. Give up all these so-called dharmas. Whatever you think is good, whatever you think is best for yourself or others. You simply give it up and depend on me completely. Then I'll give you complete protection. Otherwise, who we can protect? We were talking the other day. Husband's duty to protect the wife. Otherwise, woman is like children. Women are like children. They're easily misled. So they have to be protected always. By husband, grown-up sons, etc. So that is your duty, the duty. That is Dharma. You have to do that. But then again, Bhagavatam says, who is that foolish person? Who is that foolish woman who thinks that this man will have to actually be able to protect me? And who is that foolish man who thinks that I'll be able to give protection to this my woman? Only a foolish person would think that. But simultaneously, while you're in Dharma, you've got to act. So the whole thing about Dharma, you've got to act. You go along with it, but you're detached from it. You're not identifying, as you act as the protector, but you're not identifying as the protector. So again, this is the I and mine, I am the protector, that's okay. But when it's my wife, then the attachment is there, then you actually, instead of protecting your wife, the attachment to the wife and family, and the attachment to in the name of protection, that's actually your destruction. Because you could be bound up in the cycle of birth and death again. So Dharma means you should act, you should do all these things according to what Dharma is saying. But you remain detached from it. Bhagavatam says, he says, yes dear, no dear, yes dear, no dear. Like that. On society, they're giving advice and he's saying, yes dear, no dear, yes dear. He goes along with it, you go along with whatever's going on in society, but he remains detached. So, Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha, yeah, we have to act in these progressions of life are there and we're going through them. But we should know the purpose behind all of these. It's simply to become attached to the lotus feet of Krishna, that's all. It's not to become very perfectly, dharmic and do your duties really nicely and have everything going nicely in society. That is not the purpose. Because if that's what our goal is, okay, then Krishna says, okay, again, take your birth in a nice society, I'll give you another nice society. Take birth in a nice society. So it doesn't solve the problem, just creating a nice situation here. Because again, you take birth in the same, similar situation. But the idea is you act according to the rules of Dharma, etc. and specifically, at the time of leaving your body, nobody's going to be foolish enough to start identifying, this is my wife, my husband, my family, my children. Then it has no meaning. While we're living and kind of healthy and the society is going on, it has some meaning. We have meaning, we have groups and families and society. They have some meaning. But here we relate to Krishna in our societies, we relate everything to Krishna. But outside they just relate to the family society. But at the time of leaving their body, then all of that relationship has no meaning. It has no meaning whatsoever. If I am not this body, then who is my husband? Who is my wife? Who is my child? It has no meaning. I'm going to leave. Then everything has no meaning. All this, the society and Dharma and everything like that. While we're living, we perform it, but we're not attached to it. We're doing it as a matter of duty. But we know the ultimate goal is life is to be fixed in service to Krishna. So we are trained in our society, you know. So when actually the devotee leaves the body, then the family members are there, but they're not crying and, you know, my son is leaving, my father is leaving. They're all there. You did a pretty good innings this time, you know. You did all the devotional service you did, you trained the family up. Now we're all chanting Hare Krishna. You're going back to that much better destination. We are all happy. You're going to leave the material world. You're going before us, you know. Please put in a good word for Krishna. We're all happy that you're going, and we're happy and dancing and chanting Hare Krishna to help you go. We're not laying at your bedside, no, don't go, don't go. The beloved father, simply binding each other. No, the devotees, instead. So this is the position of devotee. They follow Dharma, yes, they follow. But they know the real purpose, they don't become attached. They know it has no meaning. So like that, everything that goes on here, everything, we see it's in the form of the Lord. So for protection, yes, that's the arms of the Lord. We have so much, basically eating, meat, sleeping, mating and defending these defenses. 25% of existence. So it's a big thing. And we take it very seriously, you know, individually, in our family, and nationally. It's a big thing, defense. Well, it's Krishna's arms. So they're represented on the universal form. So everything that's in existence, we understand the source is coming from Krishna. And when we remember that, then that's Krishna consciousness. Then we don't become bewildered. And the moment we forget Krishna's personality, we become bewildered. Not that we should remember the universal form of the Lord, his arms, but we should remember Jagannath's hands. He doesn't have that. He said, I've got no hands, but I eat everything. I can reach anywhere and take anything. When Indradyumna Maharaj was establishing Jagannath, and that Leela of Jagannath, he said, but you've got no arms, you're some finished. And Jagannath said, no, I appeared like this. To prove the statement that in the Vedas, although I have no hands, I can reach anywhere and take anything. So I've appeared like this to prove my statement. So we remember Krishna's arms. The ultimate protection. So anything, we can relate everything to Krishna. We're taking medicine, everybody's taking medicine. But this is the herbs are the coming from Krishna's body, they're the hairs of Krishna's body. So like that, then you can think of Krishna. Krishna has so many hairs on his body, glossy hairs, piled up like crow's feathers, clustered together when he's young, in like kind of locks. He also has a thin line of hairs from his navel comes up. And then his arms stand on end when he's with Radharani. So like that, in any aspect of life, we could do everything we can relate to Krishna. It's all there in Krishna. So we can always remember Krishna. So this is the whole purpose. And Lord Brahma said that Maya means nothing but forgetfulness of Krishna's personality. That's all. The Lord of the universe, Brahma, the most intelligent person. Very, very concise definition of Maya. Very concise. He's speaking to Krishna, actually. And he says, Maya is nothing but forgetfulness of your personality. The moment we forget Krishna's personality, that is the conditioned state of mind. But therefore, Krishna's always reminding us, Man Mana Baba Mata, always think of me. His personality, always think of me. Then you can't be there. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srimad Prabhupada ki jai. Shama Veda Bhaktivinoda ki. Nitai Go Premanandi. Thank you very much. Any question? Comment? Dibba, Shimha, the transcendental lion.
You think that the stages were after the liberation is before Bhagavatam, but then Bhagavatam is said to be eternal, so you can understand
that. Yeah. It's eternal. Sukadeva Goswami, you know, Vyas spoke the Bhagavatam, and he heard in the womb. Already he was a liberated soul. But it's eternal, the Bhagavatam is eternal. It appears to have been spoken at that time, but actually it was eternal. It actually comes along with the with the universe. It's part of the Vedas. And then they're manifest at certain times for everyone to take advantage of. And then they appear to be unmanifest, but actually they're eternally here in the world. And the Kumaras, they're also empowered Shaktivesh avatars. So they're also, they're practically eternal also in every university. Certain entities are empowered to take those positions as the Kumaras. And they're completely absorbed in mukti. Nothing better than this. They didn't even bother to go to Vaikuntha before. There's nothing better than this. Just out of curiosity, one time they went to Vaikuntha. And they got some enlivening our senses. We thought that our senses, we were self-satisfied. How is it there's something external that's giving us more satisfaction? Otherwise, they were completely satisfied. So there's always, these are represented specifically by the Kumara, Shukadeva, Goswami, etc. These different people who want mukti are on the path of mukti. So they represent in the universe, they represent. So they're kind of eternal situation figures. Just like all the devas, they're more or less eternal figures. Every time the universe is there, you get the same figures. In fact, you get many in the day, even in one day of Brahma, you get many. Ganesh is an Indra's come. So many people worship Ganesh. But he's popping up all the time. So many times he pops up. Different personalities, Jiva. So many Ganeshes coming in one day of Brahma even. So who is that Ganesh they're worshipping? I don't know. He's always changing. It's just a position. Ganesh is a position. Indra is a position. Now he's Indra, and then Balita takes the position of Indra next time. And Indra takes the position of Bali. It mentions in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Just after that story, then it starts giving the description of the different future, the future generations, the future Manus, and etc. like that. And then when I read that, then Indra will take the birth of Bali. Bali. And Bali would take the first, and oh my God, after that whole scene, that big battles and everything, and Indra's lost his place to Bali, and the whole thing, the whole universe gets involved. It's such a thing, the whole universe has to be involved in it. Lord Vamana Deva comes, and it's a universal thing, it's a happening, the universe. And then after all that, again, he has to take birth, and that goes through the whole thing. I thought, oh my God, this is material world. Whole universal pastime takes it. And then again, they have to go through the whole same thing again. Oh my God, doing the same thing again and again and again. Better not get involved, better get out now. Come back again. You get the position, the big positions like that, Indra and Ambali, and again you have to take birth. And he lived thousands of years as well. Like, oh, what's the use? Better get out, chant Hare Krishna, get out immediately. So complicated, this material. If the Brahman effulgence, the bodily effulgence emanated from Krishna's body or from Krishna's toenail, that is it. Yeah. There's no difference between Krishna's body and Krishna's toenail. So it says it emanates from his body or emanates from his toenails. Then again it says it emanates from Goloka, but ultimately, because he's in the center of Goloka. And ultimately everything illuminates from him. Aham Savasya Prabhu. And then that Brahma Jyoti is expanded throughout the whole, everywhere. And the light from the sun and the moon are also get their light from the Brahma Jyoti. And Prabhupada said, that's why when you look up in the sky, it's blue. Because the light from the sun is reflecting from the Brahma Jyoti, which is a reflection of Krishna's body, which is blue. Therefore the sky becomes blue. It has no color, you look up, but actually it's blue. Because ultimately it's reflected from Krishna's body, it's taking its blue hue, all the light is coming from. Then you get blue hue in the sky. So any way you can remember, if you look up, you see Krishna. Blue sky. The sun and moon, my eyes, every time there's a sun on the moon. Okay? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.